Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Christian Skelton here with you on this Wednesday morning. Talking some football, and to help us do that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Mike Herndon to the program from PaulKuharski.com. Mike, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Awesome, man. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Before we get into the Titans, how are we feeling about Arch and your Longhorns heading into this year?
You know, the hype train is up and running again this off season, and I mean honestly, I feel like it's a team with very few holes on paper. So I'm feeling pretty optimistic. Now the schedule is a different question. It's a murderer's row that they're about to face. So if they can at least win 10 and get into the playoffs, I think they'll be a force to be reckoned with in the postseason.
Yep, could be a fun year down there in Austin. We'll see how it goes. So, speaking of fun years, like this is a huge year, as we know, for J.C. Latham heading into year three. You know, last year he was hurt with the hip, and I thought he started to play better as the year went on and as the year closed out last year. So, as we enter into year three with him, how are you feeling about where things stand with J.C. Latham and your confidence level that he's going to step up, have a big year for the Titans this year?
Yeah, I think he's maybe arguably the most intriguing player on the Titans roster heading into this season. It may be the most pivotal as well, because it's hard to see them really having a, you know, good offensive line without him taking that next step and becoming, you know, doing basically what Peter Skoronski did going from year two to year three and his big breakout last season. To be fair, I think Latham, while I do think he played better down the stretch last year and showed some signs of that light coming on, he didn't have the big second half of that second year breakout like Skoronski quite did.
Yep.
Because Skoronski was, I mean, lights out by the time he was in the back half of year two, and then that kind of fed into last year. So Latham did a little bit of a muted version of that, in my opinion. And I don't know, I could see it going either way, but there's enough tools there. There's enough good tape of Latham over his first couple years when he's been healthy and right and everything to make me feel like there's a chance with Carmen Brasillo and you know, offensive line coach. I mean, look, we hyped up the last offensive line coach too,
right.
and he didn't get it done, but Brasillo does have a good track record developing players, especially young players, and getting a lot out of them quickly. So it'll be very interesting to see for sure. But I'm optimistic that they'll get at least league average tackle play out of him, which I think is, you know, good enough. Not good enough to justify his draft status, but good enough to be okay at right tackle. But whether they get more than that, I think, could be a big question as to what the ceiling for this team becomes.
Let's say they do, and he takes maybe not, you know, to the level of like Skoronski, where he's regarded among interior linemen, but he takes a good step, and it's clear, you know, like he's going to get a second deal. Now you feel, you know, good about that spot. What do you think this offensive line could be, if that's the case, and what does that mean for Cam Ward?
I don't want to be Debbie Downer heading into a football season, but I think maybe the ceiling for this offensive line is, you know, passable, like, you know, league average, which would be a step up from what we've seen, to be clear, from the last, you know, two or three years now with the Titans, as they've kind of had to rebuild this group. I think Skoronski, you know what you're going to get from him. I think you kind of know what you're going to get from Dan Moore, that it's not going to be great, but it's probably going to be pretty close to league average to slightly below average. And then the two, you know, interior spots that are kind of in battle, we just don't know. So you know, if you get good play from Latham, I think it certainly raises the floor to passable, because I've always said this, that you just cannot go into a season with two tackles that you feel like you have to protect, because it just hampers your offense in so many ways from a protection standpoint, and keeping guys into chip and numbers and things like that. And to be able to be a functional NFL offense, you have to have one tackle you feel pretty good about leaving on an island. And that doesn't mean against Myles Garrett, like every single matchup that you're expected to be shut down. But you need to, against your average edge rushers, be able to hold up okay without a tight end chip all the time, or having a running back to your side, or whatever it may be. So I think if they can get Latham to that level, because I just don't think Dan Moore has that in him. He's been in the league, this is what, his sixth year in the league. I don't think we're seeing a new level from Dan Moore in 2026. So Latham's the guy that you have to hope takes that next step. And if he can, I mean, you can hide those interior spots a little bit better if you have a good tackle and a good guard and a passable left tackle. I think you can maybe hide those interior spots a lot better in pass protection if there's solid pieces around them.
Mike, if Gunnar Helm maximizes himself as an NFL player, what do you think that looks like? How good do you think he can be?
Oh, goodness. I think he could be really good, frankly. And you know, I don't want to say this name because I think it's putting too much on him. But there are so many things that he does that remind me of Travis Kelce. I don't think he's quite as athletic as Kelce. So I think that he's not going to be Travis Kelce, to be clear. But there are so many things that he does as far as his ball skills, the feel for the game, the ability to uncover when his quarterback breaks the pocket and is playing in the scramble drill. The kind of feel for space that he has is very Kelce-ish. Because, I mean, Kelce was never really necessarily the greatest. He's not a 4-4 guy, right? No. Like, I mean, his ability to get open was feel, route running, you know, in a connection with his quarterback. And I think Helm can very much do similar things. Not to say he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but I think he could be one of the, you know, 10 best tight ends in the NFL if he maximizes what he can do, because I don't think he's athletic enough. I think he's certainly got plenty of size at 6'5", 250-ish, and then the hands are tremendous. So I think if he can kind of max out and continue to build that rapport with Cam Ward, I think he could be a really big player for this team moving forward.
What are we going to see on the edge from this Titans defense, Mike? I know it's an individual basis, a lot of guys, but collectively, because I think we all would all agree the interior, the defensive front, is probably the strength of this team. To me, it's like if you can get decent edge play collectively, you might be pretty fearsome. What do you expect from that group?
I think it's another very interesting group. I think at a floor, it's going to be better than what you saw out of the Titans last year, which, I mean, it would be hard to not be. But Jermaine Johnson, I think, again, kind of like I think he's better than Dan Moore, but kind of like Dan Moore, I think you kind of know what he is. And we've seen him be a really good edge rusher in the NFL a couple years ago before the injury. And if he can get back to that level, I think you've got a really good player. And even if he doesn't, I think you've got a solid player at one of the starting spots. And then who plays opposite him, for the most part, is going to be really interesting, because it's Falk, who I think is extremely talented. It's, you know, somewhat raw. You've got Finney Oladejo, who, you know, again, somewhat raw, but has a lot of physical skills that would be interesting. And then I also think Jacob Martin is a player that you know what you're going to get in a good way. You know, he's a veteran, and he has consistently been, as far as like a role-playing, rotational, pass rush specialist type edge rusher, he's consistently been a guy who can get sacks, get pressures. And I think you could see him have a really nice role as a third down player in this defense. So I think it's going to be a much better group The whether or not it can become an elite group, I think completely depends on Finney and Falk and whether they're able to kind of unlock that physical skill set and put it all together and turn into a really, truly dynamic edge rusher. But there's enough mix of young guys with high potential and a couple veteran guys that, you know, give you a solid floor to think that that's at least an average group NFL edge rushing wise. And I think that's going to be a huge thing for Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers on the interior, just having, you know, some help from those edge guys, which Simmons, you know, didn't really have the last couple of years.
All right, Mike, last thing for you here. Given the fact that you're talking about the number four overall pick, but you're also talking about somebody who hasn't played a single game in the NFL yet, what's a realistic timeline in your mind for Cornell Tate being clearly the best option and their go-to guy at wide receiver this year for the Titans?
I think that you would want to see that by like week 7 or 8, about midway through the year, given that, you know, the talent that he's flashed already, you know, based on all the camp reports and everything like that. I think you saw the AJ Brown trajectory, right? His rookie year. And it was, I think, through the first few weeks, and now he put up some big games in those first few weeks, but he was playing a lower snap count, so 40%, something like that. I think Tate's probably going to get a pretty healthy snap count right away, just given the investment in him versus the investment in Brown back in 2019. So I think Tate probably gets a bigger role right away, but then you really saw AJ emerge as the guy. I mean, quickly leapfrogging Corey Davis and those other guys that were in that room back then. And by the second half of that rookie season, he was the guy on that offense. And I think that's what you want to see from Tate. So I think, you know, and he's probably got a higher bar to clear with Wandale Robinson and Calvin Ridley even. And that those guys are not nothing to overtake as kind of the go-to number one weapon. But I think if you spent number four on him and you think that's who he is, you should see him clear those guys by the back half of this rookie year. And I think he will, frankly. I'm a very big believer in Tate and think he's going to be a huge deal for Cam Ward and his development this year.
That would be a very nice development for the Tennessee Titans if it plays out that way. Mike, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us and appreciate your time as always. And we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Mike Herndon with us here on the program. We'll react to what Mike had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds taking on the Sugarland Space Cowboys. First pitch at 7:05. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Maple Street Biscuit Company, and Social Cantina. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on the program. If things play out the way that Herndon has laid out there, and he says he's got a lot of belief in Cornell Tate, that is a very good development for the Tennessee Titans if it plays out that way.
Yeah, I'm pretty optimistic. I think that's a pretty good timeline he laid out there. It's, you know, week 7, week 8. If we're at week 4, week 5, and it's not at least somewhat clear, I guess maybe we'll be freaking out.
Total panic setting.
Yeah, once, you know, it's like it sounds good right now when you say a timeline like that, and then you go week by week. And some of it is like, okay, well, what if Calvin Ridley is just he's at the top of his game coming out, you know? And me and Cam have worked together for a while, and he takes some of those targets and some of those big plays. And we know Wandale Robinson is going to get the ball out too. It's like, is it more circumstantial / situational, or is he struggling to make plays? But I'm optimistic about him being a good football player, being a good receiver in the NFL. Great difference making, all that, like, you know, we'll see. But I think he's definitely, unlike Cam, if you want to separate those two, you know, Cam's a, to me, a big gamble at 1 overall, and the floor, you know, is very low. I think definitely a high floor pick with Carnell Tate.
I would agree.
High floor situation.
I'd agree, and we'll see just how high the ceiling is, because I think there needs to be some of that when you're picking somebody number four overall.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we'll see just how high the ceiling
you need
is
a ceiling
on that front. I want to be careful the way that I frame this one, because you could tell Herndon was trying to be careful with the comparison as well, but he made the Gunnar Helm,
yeah,
Travis Kelce comparison, just in terms of style and the way that they play and some of the things that they do well. He did clarify and to make sure that we said that he threw it out there that he's not saying that Gunnar Helm is going to turn into Travis Kelce, but it was a very interesting comparison that he made.
Does this mean like someday, like 10, 12 years from now, Gunnar Helm and like Ella Langley are going to have an amazing wedding in the middle of like L.A. or something?
Maybe so.
Keep bringing up Ella Langley.
Staples Center. It's no longer called the Staples Center. We'll
crypto.
Have a wedding there.
Yeah, Crypto.com arena, baby.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, some people have pointed out in the YouTube and the text line, I said, I guess I'm trying to compensate for when I ripped on Josh Heupel when he got hired, but he did not win the Heisman. He was...
Is he runner-up?
Yeah, it was Wanky beat him. He won the national championship that year at Oklahoma, but did not win the Heisman, so I apologize. Fact error. First fact error in Robbie and Rex Road history, probably.
I would agree.
Right?
Yeah. It took 6 years. It's
yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. So, sorry about that. Yeah, maybe it's a little bit overcompensation. Also, I'm sorry, Josh Heupel, that I thought you were a terrible hire.
The tape doesn't show that for me.
Yeah, I know.
That's the tape I've seen.
You just sat there quietly and said, well, I don't know. I have no opinion on this.
I didn't say anything that day.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. They could have hired Gus Malzahn, and they hired Josh Heupel.
Oh, God, that's right. Malzahn was another very popular name being thrown out there. Jeez. It really was kind of slim pickings, you know?
You know, in retrospect, when you start looking at all that Heupel stuff, it may be you may get more benefit of the doubt than me than most Tennessee coaches get when you look back on the history. It's like, yeah, you know, he's done a pretty good job for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, I mean, John Adams had a good column this week, like kind of laying out the consistency. I mentioned a little bit of it the other day, but I mean, certainly what just preceded him, man,
yeah,
he's amazing. But also, just there is something to be said for if all he is a bridge coach at some point, maybe that's it. But like, those are stabilizing that program.
Yeah,
not easy to do.
Not easy to do at all.
Sorry, Josh.
So Gunnar Helm, 75 catches, 1,000 yard season, uploading here.
Yeah, I guess I don't necessarily see what some have been saying. I mean, I think he's good. I'm going to be a little bit surprised if he has the kind of breakout that some people seem to think he'll have. It's a pleasantly surprised. It'd be great. I don't know. I just don't. I don't quite see it as much as some of you do.
Well, I just wonder with what they've got at receiver right now, I just wonder where the volume is going to come from, particularly with, like, you've got Robinson in the fold. Not that you can't have a good slot receiver and have a good tight end at the same time. Like, it would be great to have.
Just work the middle of that field, man.
I've said this a million times. I'm a little less concerned about the volume for Gunnar Helm and more concerned about, you know, effective areas of the field. Like, you know, in between the 20s, what you do, that's fine. I'll take it. But when you get into the red zone is really where I'm concerned about what Gunnar Helm does this year. So we'll see what that looks like. I mean, he had 44 catches last year for 357 and 2 touchdowns. I would assume, Joe, that both the catches and the yards are going to go up this year. Relatively significantly.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how significantly. I mean, if you go from 44 catches to 65 catches, that's a pretty big jump year over year. We'll see if anything beyond that, I'll be surprised if he gets into like 70-plus catch territory this year. That's just me.
I would go under on 60. I would go under on 600 yards. But if he has 8 touchdowns, like you said, then – that's pretty good. That's a good step forward. Like, if we want to put him in the Titans context, I mean, I don't think he's in the neighborhood of like what Delanie Walker is when he was in his prime, you know? I mean, that's the last. I mean, Geno Smith had a really good
had a good year.
Yeah, 2012, 20, right? 19 and 20 in particular. But really, the last like tight end that really moved the needle was Delaney Walker. And I don't see that level of talent with Gunnar Helm, but I definitely think he could be a second contract guy who is consistently productive for many years of the Titans, and that would still be a welcome development.
Well, I do see the hands. Like, he's got really good hands, and you can see that. Like, you saw that last year. And, you know, Ernest's right. You don't have to run a 4-4 out there at tight end to create separation and get open. But I'm with you. Like, if he turns into a – I mean, what was the quote they used about Firkser that one time that Kevin Byard threw out there? Was it top-flight tight end? I think that was it. I think he was top-flight tight end.
Did he not make a Kelce comparison, too, or am I crazy?
I don't know if I remember
I thought
that
he made
one,
a comparison, too.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of the Racy McMath, Julio Jones debacle.
Oh, yeah. Racy McMath and Anthony Firkser. Just weapons not utilized enough.
Watch out, NFL.
Yeah, good stuff there. But, like, I think that's why I think in the red zone he could be so good. I think going up high point in the ball – the hands that Helm has already displayed to have, I think it'd be a really good weapon for the Titans. So I think he can be a good starting tight end in the NFL for the Titans. And frankly, if you find one of those in the fourth round, good, man. More power to you. That's good stuff.
Yeah, if he does that, that's another definite positive mark on Borgonzi's record here.
615-737-1025, our phone number. There is a storyline that is starting to gain a little bit more traction with the Titans heading into training camp that, frankly, number one, I just don't buy. And number two, even if it plays out this way in camp, I won't care. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, we're getting closer to training camp for the Tennessee Titans. And there's a storyline that I think we're going to hear throughout camp that you're already starting to hear a little bit into the offseason. You know, we talked with TD about it a little bit last week. You know, Jimmy Wyatt has talked about it. I've heard others kind of bring it up. Titans fans bring it up. And I get it. I understand it to a certain degree. Like that there's, in some cases, a little bit of wishful thinking there, but also an opportunity where you look at this specific position group and you're like, yeah, it would be nice if like somebody dynamic just kind of emerged there from this. And I'm talking running back. And Tajay Spears, and TD brought this up last week. Like he said he's got some of the same burst that he had prior to the injury last year that people were talking about. And I remember that last year, like, you know, it was, you know, heading into Cam Ward's first year, Brian Callahan's second year in the offense, and a lot of the conversation in the offseason was, man, like Tajay Spears looks pretty good out there. Like he's got good burst to him. He's out there running around. He looks explosive, looks good, all those things. And then he gets in the season and starts dealing with injuries. And frankly, just doesn't do anything. Like he just didn't do anything last year. And I would not be surprised at all, Joe, if we get into training camp and one of the things people start talking about is, hey, you know, Tajay Spears looks pretty good at camp this year. And I just have to tell you, I do not care. Let me just go on record before we get into this. I don't care what Tajay Spears does in training camp at all. It means absolutely nothing to me at all. I don't care what he does in training camp. Until I see it on an anywhere near consistent level in an NFL game, I don't care. He had 72 carries for 283 yards and 2 touchdowns, 3.9 a carry last year. And in the passing game, let's see what he did in the passing game a year ago. He caught 45 balls for 264 yards. It's a storyline that I get it. They need something dynamic coming out of that position. But I don't care what he does in camp. I will not buy it until I see it in a game.
This show absolutely has to be the foremost Tajay hater Spears show.
Probably so.
In Nashville. I'm a mild Tajay Spears hater. You are, I think, a bona fide. I generally agree with you. Here and there, he'll make a play, he'll break a tackle and look explosive, and you're like, okay. And you've seen glimpses of that all along, despite the injury stuff, which was a fair thing to be worried about, although we were cautioned, let him have his amazing night, greatest night of his life.
That's true.
Here when he was drafted. But I generally agree with you. I guess I'll leave the door slightly cracked. If there's like a really long stretch of health, that maybe he can take it to another level. But I think he's a dude. He's a guy.
He's a replaceable player.
Yeah. And I don't, and I agree. I don't think it's going to get much beyond that. That's why I really think it's interesting with the backfield. Like, you really might be, well, you might be starting over next year. I mean, I think there's a tremendous Nick Singleton opportunity here. And this is a guy who can catch the ball a little bit too. I mean, I think there's an opportunity for him to look at that job and say, I'm taking that. And beyond that, with Pollard, who is probably a little bit underrated just in terms of his production and everything, but like it's running back, and it's like, man, at some point it's just going to probably go off the cliff a little bit. Could be an opportunity for Singleton to like be the guy next year with a need to go get another guy. I don't think like Singleton probably is going to be part of a two-back situation at best case scenario if he pans out at all.
Well, and I just think some of this too, like some of it's as simple as it's Spears, and I just haven't seen it in a game yet, so I don't care about practice until I see it in a game. Some of it's also the position. Like, it's just so hard in training camp to get anything of value from running backs because everybody knows that you're not wrapping them up and driving them to the ground in training camp. Like, you're not grabbing at their ankles in training camp trying to bring them to the ground. So I just think there's a huge limitation in what you see from running backs in training camp that has just very limited meaning out there. Whereas, you know, I think there are some other positions, like when the pads go on and you start seeing edge rushers go up against tackles and you start seeing some of the offensive line, like I think you can glean some things from that. Like, you know, Cam Ward is going to be a storyline every day in camp. I think it gets overblown as to what it means when it comes to quarterback performance in training camp. But it's not meaningless. Like, if he goes out there and he's just not good in camp, we're going to talk about it, and there's going to be concern. If he lights it up in camp, we're going to talk about it, and you're going to feel confident heading into the year if you're a Titans fan. I just think at running back, there's just so little value in camp. Like, we used to talk about Derrick. It was just a joke. Like, oh, Titans training camp has started. That means Derrick Henry can hop in the sand pit for 6 weeks, and then he'll be ready to play football here coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah. Tyrus on the YouTube chat says, well, he had 45 catches on 50 targets. Yeah, and let's remember the ball's traveling about 5 yards, man. That doesn't, you know, I think here and there he may have been downfield a little bit, but yeah, those are extended running plays. And again, the yards per carry, the yards per catch, it all, it speaks to a guy who's just, I think a lot of times it's just one tackle away or, oh, you couldn't quite outrun that guy. I think another thing with Tyjae Spears, with people who cover the team, because I still did, you know, when he was drafted, he's a tremendous personality. And I do think sometimes as you can be influenced by that. I think he's one of the strongest voices on the team. He brings tons of energy every day. You want the guy to do well. Like, he's a guy you naturally root for. And human beings cover the team. And I think that there is some, like, whether it's sort of like rooting for him or just thinking like that guy, no one with that much juice like can be held down too long. Like, he's going to break out. But yeah, the game film to me just shows another guy.
Yeah. But again, another guy. Maybe he does have look, it won't be hard for him to have a career year, right? Well, like, it shouldn't be that hard for him to have a career year. I mean, right now his career year is his rookie year where he ran for 453 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So that shouldn't be that difficult to have a career year. I'm just saying, like, I can absolutely envision a scenario in camp where it's like, yeah, Tyjae Spears is looking pretty good out there. And it's just like, okay, well, let me know in mid-September what that means for the Titans, right? Because, you know, I just feel like I've heard that story before.
Tyrus is now telling us he averaged 8.4 yards after the catch. He caught the ball at the line of scrimmage.
Caught the ball at the line of scrimmage, and he averaged 5.9 a catch, 5.9 a reception. Now, 8.4 after the catch, yeah, if he gets a screen 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, then yeah, I guess.
How would he average 8.4 after the catch if he averaged 5-something per catch? Are you telling me that he had a whole Like, did he catch a
they
bunch?
Stole it backwards.
5 yards behind the line and just get buried? Like, you got to help me with these numbers. Yeah, here, I mean, Tyrus, I think your numbers
are
off.
There are no numbers that I'm looking at with Tyjae Spears here that say anything other than replacement level NFL player.
He also says, Tyrus claims, he tied Bijan Robinson for the most missed tackles after the catch for running backs. I don't believe you. I don't know what to tell you. I don't believe you. You need to show me. You need to show me links now. You're starting to tell me. It's like he tied Babe Ruth's home run record last year. You just didn't notice him playing in Major League Baseball. Yeah, I don't like. We all saw him play. Every once in a while he'll make a play and you'd be like, okay, I see something there.
Yeah.
But it's way too few and far between. Few and far between.
Yeah. You nailed it.
Thanks.
That's good.
Catch as Cam Cat can. Yeah.
You nailed it again.
Thank you.
So this is, if there's going to be a year where he, I don't know, for lack of a better term, breaks out, I mean, this will be a good year for it, right? I mean, you're looking at the running back room. There's uncertainty. I mean, Pollard's got 1 year left on the deal. You brought up Singleton. We'll see what sort of juice he's got once training camp and the season gets here. I mean, there's plenty of opportunity for these guys, whether it's Spears, whether it's Mullings, whether it's Singleton, that if you could step up and make some plays, you might have a future on this team. Whereas I think anything beyond this year at running back right now is kind of way up in the air with this team.
Yeah, and like Pollard, I just don't see a scenario where they're going to sign him to another deal. And maybe I'm underrating him. Maybe he has an incredible year, and you're like, I mean, give him another 2-year deal. But at this point, I'm assuming Tony Pollard is not on the Tennessee Titans in 2027 when they open that new stadium.
Agreed.
Spears, he does. He has the opportunity to be in a two-back situation with a Singleton or with somebody new. But to me, he's got to show a lot more than he has or than Tyrus has seen in like a fantasy alternative reality of football. Texture says, BS, that dude's never broken a tackle in his life. He has broken.
No,
he's broken some tackles.
No, we've entered both extremes.
He has broken some tackles. I don't think, tied Bijan Robinson. Tyrus, where's the link, man? I'm waiting. We got time still before this segment ends. Give me the link.
I mean, if that's true and he tied Bijan Robinson for the most missed tackles, by God, the play design for the Titans was awful last year because he broke that many tackles and ended up with 5'9" a catch. Good grief.
So you 3'9" a carry and 5'9" a catch?
That is correct.
How about Bijan? What are his numbers?
Well, let's see here.
I'm going to guess, a little bit better than that. I mean, 3'9" a carry. Bad offensive line. Got a little better last year. A little bit better run blocking.
Bijan was 5'1" a carry, and he was 10'4" a catch.
Okay. Those are better. That's you. Those are better. Yeah, I think he's a little better than Tyjae Spears. I don't know. You call me crazy. Tyrus is no longer responding on the YouTube chat. So, are you looking for a link on your? Is this like? Are you doing dial up? Like, what are we doing here? Show me. If you just can rattle off these facts, you must get them from somewhere, right?
I would hope so. Yeah, Bijan's number is a little bit better.
Okay, hold on. According to the franchise guys, Marcus Whitman, I don't know who that is, Spears led the league in missed tackles. Missed tackles forced in 2025. Okay, so this is, again, Marcus Whitman, I don't know who that is, but he says, quote, while nobody was watching the Titans, Tyjae Spears quietly tied Bijan Robinson for most missed tackles forced after the catch with 26.
He had just 40. Specific stat.
He had more MTF. Missed tackles forced, which, again, I'm trying to understand. Then Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan, and Christian McCaffrey all had 77-plus receptions. You know what this tells me? This stat is worthless because you just said you just put him in the same paragraph with Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, Christian McCaffrey. So if anybody watches football and thinks that there's any comparison whatsoever.
Or the Titans had the worst coaching staff of all time. That's what it also could tell you. Because if he's forcing that many missed tackles and he ends up 5'9" a catch.
I will tell you that
Did he have a pass play where he lost 60 yards at one point?
No. I will say that there are a lot of plays with him. I do think he does make the first guy miss decently, yeah. But it's like then there's – and again –
there's seven other guys.
Then there's another guy that immediately tackles him. So, like, the play does nothing.
Yeah.
So maybe that is to your point, play design and play design, just offense.
It's just terrible.
Maybe in this offense he's about to light the world on fire. I mean, I'm starting to open my mind to the possibility.
Let's see. 615-737-1025. Does that mean Tyrus technically was correct? Do we owe Tyrus an apology?
Well, I mean, at least there's a link. I've never heard of that person. Is this this was who sent this? Oh, this is Jim from Springfield who sent this. So Jim from Springfield stepping in, helping out. I've never heard of this person, but yeah, that's he must have he at least got it from somewhere. He didn't make it up. So I'm sorry, Tyrus, you didn't make it up. Congratulations.
615-737-1025. Sleeping giant in the Titans offense that we will continue to discuss. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Tyrus has responded on YouTube. Says, first the stat was made up, now it's true but worthless. Don't move the goalpost, Joe.
Well,
get him.
Hey now. Well, I was asking if it was made up. I wanted a link. You didn't provide a link, but somebody on the text line saved your butt there, Tyrus. But, I mean, it is pretty worthless, man. I mean, come on. I'm not bullying. Jess is like, is Joe done bullying Tyrus? No.
I mean.
I'm not bullying him.
What you've uncovered for me is Brian Callahan absolutely sucked even worse than I thought. And I thought bad. But
hey guys, here's a play. We'll throw it to Tyjae and no one blocked. And let's just see how many tackles he can break. Oh, he broke four tackles and gained a yard. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Tyjae at 2nd and 9.
Great play design out there from Callahan.
Yeah. No, there is probably some truth to play calling / offensive design questions. Can we all step back, Tyrus? And I'm not bullying you. Can we all step back and look at these different names that we're throwing out here do the Sesame Street thing? You know, one of these kids is not like the other. Come on. Yeah. I would love to see.
When I think of Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, the next name that comes to mind is Tyjae Spears.
Yeah. Hey, I'd love for us to play audio from today in November when we're talking about Tyjae Spears as like one of the breakout stars of the league this year. We can do what we just did with Josh Heupel and me, and somehow Robbie gets cut out of the audio there.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and find that show. I mean, I can probably find that on the internet, right? And actually listen to the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure people can. I don't know if you can.
Well.
Find out.
Well, there is that. But I hope we have that occasion. And Ian can make fun of us and play how we were ripping on Tyjae Spears and look at how good. But right now,
be on the lookout at training camp, though. Let's look at how many tackles he's forcing to miss, you know.
Yeah, MFTs.
This place you can't tackle.
I need the PK. We didn't have today,
but I'm counter.
Yeah, we need the PK MFT count.
Yeah,
every day missed. No, MTF.
Yeah,
missed tackles forced.
Yes, exactly.
Not missed tackles enjoyed. Missed tackles forced. Okay, sure thing.
Well, good to know. You can learn more each day on this program here. It's good stuff. Where Pollard fell in those rankings? What if Pollard's sixth in the league and missed tackles force? It's like, good Lord, McCoy and Callahan couldn't draw up a play to save their life.
The greatest backfield.
Bo Hart, play calling's awful.
Yeah, it's the greatest backfield in the NFL, and we had no idea. It's Ernest Biner and Kevin Mack.
The new smash and dash out there.
That's right. Yeah. For people who didn't know, Biner and Mack are the last back combo to have both have 1,000 yards for the Cleveland Browns. In like 1985 or something like that.
How close did Lindale ever get close to 1,000 yards with Chris Johnson?
I think he got close. I think he had, I'm going to guess he had like an 800 maybe in
Okay, that makes sense. So Lindale had 1,000 yards in 2007. Chris Johnson gets drafted in 2008. And Lindale had 773 yards.
There you go. Okay.
So, pretty good.
That is pretty good. I don't think this is that.
I don't think so either.
I don't think this is quite that, but maybe I guess we'll find out.
I guess we will. I mean, training camp is coming up, Joe. Are we getting excited? We got the bug yet? A little football bug?
I thought you were talking about the diarrhea.
No, not that bug.
Lettuce.
Let's avoid that bug.
No, we're so far avoiding that. No, I'm not that excited. No. Rookies, what, report tomorrow for the Titans? Interesting. They're doing the rookies for several days.
Yeah.
And then, you know, usually it's like a day, but they're doing a whole bunch of days.
Veterans on Monday.
Yeah, Veterans Monday. I mean, I'm excited that we'll have different things to talk about, but as we always say, it's a you get that first couple days, and
I guess
then,
technically Tuesday for the veterans.
Okay. Yep. So it's five days with the rookies. Then you get into the monotony of things, but it just ultimately means we're getting closer and closer to actual football, so that's good. And also on the actual football front, the Vols may be getting themselves a big commitment today. So David Gabriel Georges.
Are we confident that that is where he's ending up? I mean, it's down to Tennessee and Ohio State by the reporting. Most people are leaning Tennessee, but I guess you never know till the ink is dry.
Tennessee and Ohio State, like Buckeye and Vol Twitter, they've moved way past what's he going to do. They've moved to, we know he's going to Tennessee, and Buckeyes fans are crapping on Tennessee as a program, and Tennessee is saying, well, what you should say is, like, people in Ohio can't drive. There's a free one for me. But they've already moved on to the screaming at each other post his decision to pick the Vols. Now, maybe the internet's wrong, and maybe he'll pull a surprise. Maybe the Miami Heat putting out the link to the July 27th intro press for LeBron James means something, or maybe it doesn't.
Maybe. So do the kids still do the hats? They place out all the hats on the table and they just pick one up. There's always a fake out somebody tries to. Like, they pick up a hat and toss it to the side, put another one on.
Some people still do the hat thing, right?
I think it's still pretty popular.
I feel like a lot of kids nowadays, they just don't even do like all the hats. They just have the one hat and they just pull it out of a bag or something. Yeah. They don't go to the trouble to buy every hat.
Not going to Lids.
He's not going to go get an Ohio State and Tennessee hat. He's going to get one of wherever he's committing.
Yeah.
I feel like when you have two, when you have only two, you're down to two, you can go get the other hat, right? Like, if you have five, I agree. Yeah, you don't need to have don't have a sporting goods store.
Dude, I've seen some I've seen some decisions where it's like, oh, there's 12 hats up there. Make sure you pick the right one there, because you just got them all lined up on the table. That's an expensive day at the hat store if you've got all these hats.
Yeah, but I mean, in this day and age,
I know.
You can't drop like $100 out of your NIL deal. What do you pay? What is a? I think the number's been flying around a little bit, but for a freshman incoming running back, granted, a very coveted 5-star,
he's good.
Did I see a $2 million figure be thrown around?
You did, yes.
Man, that's high.
That's a lot, especially at that position.
And look, he's like, you're going to produce Tennessee, but that's another thing about Tennessee is like,
you better play next year.
Like, running, it makes running backs look better too. Well, yeah, I think. I mean,
it does make running backs look better, but it does beg the question. Okay, well, what if you get an elite one? What does that look like?
Yeah. Well, and I think they had one a couple years ago,
Samson.
Well, but also before him, Jalen.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Wright.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are pros, you know, and this guy looks like he's ready for the pros right now. But still, incoming freshman, you have to do all the things you have to do in the portal.
It's a lot.
Like, you know, I expect like four for a quarterback you really want as a freshman. Two for a running back?
It's a lot. We'll see what he does today. That's going to do it for
us
today.
Not our money.
On the program, Next Man Up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.